We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
KYW News Radio. Original podcasts.
Local chef says, don't worry about your turkey this year, particularly if you're planning on having a small quarantine Thanksgiving.
To me, like, the bird is like sort of like a tablescape. Like, it's nice to have. It's festive. But the other stuff is more important.
She has tips for those who aren't used to being the cook of Thanksgiving and suggestions for those who don't want to be.
So if you are not a chef or if you're not quarantined with a chef, there are a lot of restaurants that desperately need your business right now.
Plus, what's a traditional Thanksgiving like in Hawaii? Keep it here for a conversation with Philly chef Kiki Araneta.
This is a podcast about food in and around Philadelphia.
That's a quick, delicious, flavorful bite.
It was really hard for me to get into it.
Stories from behind the kitchen.
This is a wood-burning oven from Italy.
It is intense.
And hear about quirky stuff, too.
Eat a pint of ice cream as quickly as you can, and then resume the 5K.
This is What's Cooking on KYW.
I'm Hadass Kuznets with Kiki Araneta from what used to be Poi Dog, but that has now closed. And we are talking about Thanksgiving and making it through this holiday season. So we're going into a time when restaurants are about to experience another shutdown here in Philadelphia. And you've already experienced that because Poi Dog closed at the end of July. And you're still here to tell the tale. So you seem to be a few steps ahead of other restaurant owners that are either going through what you went through in July now, or will probably be experiencing that as we get into the winter. So first of all, what are your thoughts about these the closures and some of the restrictions?
Hi. So I have a lot of thoughts. And of course, many different restaurants come from many different circumstances. I can speak quite a lot to a small fast casual restaurant based in Rittenhouse that also had a catering operation and a food truck as well. But of course, like, everybody is coming at this from a different angle. So with the shutdowns coming, the overarching thing that I have to say is small businesses, small independent restaurants definitely need some sort of government bailout in order to survive. I think the reality is without some sort of large government assistance, they're not going to come out on the other side of winter, probably not even on the other side of the pandemic without it. That said, like, everybody's lease is a little bit different in Philadelphia, and it took us a few months, but we were able to negotiate our way out of a lease that would have ended in another year. I know this is not the case for a lot of places, and it could be that some people are facing much longer terms relating on their leases and they're unable to shut down, in which case they are probably the ones suffering the most because they're trying to make their bottom line, trying to take care of customers and staff. And it's really difficult, especially if we're getting misleading information or the information is changing. And given that my boyfriend is still operating a restaurant in South Philadelphia, I am very intimately involved still with the restaurant world and all of the ups and downs in this climate.
So it's kind of odd with everything going on. We're also coming upon the season of Thanksgiving. What is there to be thankful for right now?
Well, for me, it's been an extraordinarily tumultuous year. I am so very thankful that me and Ari are healthy and well and safe, and that we have two dogs that are relatively well behaved and like a nice, you know, comfy home. And I think everybody who is healthy, like, should like really be extremely thankful for that. Yeah, there are things I'm going to be missing. Like, I normally go back to Hawaii every year for Thanksgiving, and I'm going to miss my massive family and seeing everybody like bring like food for a potluck and then packing all like all kinds of different leftovers to go. Like, in my family, Thanksgiving is like an extreme sport. People have been preparing like all year. They make the plans, and they also make plans for the leftovers, and they like fight and like, you know, play fight and bid over the leftovers. So I have like aunts and uncles that I have been saving up like yogurt containers and like to-go containers, because Hawaii has banned single-use plastics. So since, you know, we are extremely environmentally conscious and we don't want to like go and like out and buy Tupperware or anything like that, it has been months of saving containers to use to distribute Thanksgiving leftovers. So I will miss that.
So this year the celebration will be smaller?
Yes. So we had the very, very good foresight to basically include in our quarantine pod. I chose like brilliantly.
Every person in your bubble is a chef.
Yeah, I highly recommend quarantining with chefs.
So how will Thanksgiving look this year? And as a chef, how do you prepare for that? Particularly if you're not used to cooking the turkey, if you're not used to preparing every single dish.
So if you are not a chef, or if you're not quarantined with a chef, there are a lot of restaurants that desperately need your business right now. Small restaurants in the city that are doing Thanksgiving meal kits. Please order one if you don't want to cook your entire meal. Even if you want to cook a little part of your meal, like supplement it with meal kits from different restaurants. My approach to this is food always tastes better when somebody else makes it for you. And I think this is true for everybody. It's especially true to chefs because we spend all day cooking. And sometimes like when you're surrounded by your own food, you get really sick of it. But if you can bring in like a carefully prepared like stuffing, or even like just like the bird or some of the fixings in from another restaurant, you're both supporting a restaurant in your neighborhood and making your own feast a little bit more exciting. If you do happen to be quarantining with like three other chefs, as I am, it is helpful to think about traditional foods from other cultures that might not be your own to enrich this Thanksgiving further. So I'm used to always being back in Hawaii for Thanksgiving. And I am very curious to see like what like my Korean friend thinks Thanksgiving is supposed to be. Ari is going to make, having spent like half his life in Israel. Like, last year he made pre-Thanksgiving meal, which was enough schnitzel for like 120 people. So I'm really excited to see like what new traditions come out of this. And you know, if you have no culinary background, by all means, go out and get a Thanksgiving meal prepared by a local Philadelphia restaurant. But also like take this opportunity to, like, if you have kids, like make a new dish. For me, there's no Thanksgiving without shoyu ahi poke. It's extremely simple. It's more like a suggestion of things to put on fish, as opposed to this is like you have to put exactly one teaspoon of something into it. Like, it's like a method. So try a different method if you can't get everything single ingredient, because grocery stores are, of course, probably going to be assaulted with hungry people during this season. Substitute things. Don't be scared to experiment. And if there's only a few of you, make a small bird. Make a duck. I roasted a chicken in the air fryer. I recommend it.
So give us your best tips. So first of all, with the protein, a lot of people are thinking of maybe turkeys are big though, aren't they? What's the smallest turkey you can get?
I don't really know. First of all, I don't think turkeys are the most delicious bird out there. Like, I really think you should go out and get yourself a duck. I mean, I feel like an 8-pound turkey is pretty reasonable, but also like huge. That's like 8 pounds of meat. But I feel like you should go get yourself a smaller bird, even a chicken. If you're not like used to like roasting a chicken, roast a whole chicken, make this your project. But also, especially during this time of needing comfort, good, warm, comforting foods to sustain you, make this into like a longer project. Take the bird's carcass, save all the bones, and make stock with it. After you make the stock, turn it into one of my favorite dishes, which is congee. Make it into a rice porridge. Add a little bit of rice to like a lot of stock. Simmer it for half the day, and don't forget to stir. Add some ground ginger and top it off with whatever leftover fixings, whether it's green beans or like shredded turkey or shredded duck or whatever, top that. And then you'll have like a different twist on your Thanksgiving dinner for at least another week to come.
So these are like the weekend dishes. How should we prepare ahead of time? Do we need to brine the bird? And then also, can you prepare a turkey the same way you prepare a chicken or a duck?
I think it really depends on the size of your turkey and the size of your oven or whatever you're going to be making your bird in. Every turkey I have made, I have brined in, of course, sugar, salt, water, and aromatics. There are a billion recipes out there. Try something new, like throw some star anise in there, throw some cinnamon and see what happens, throw some citrus, and all these flavors will permeate the bird. I think turkeys have to be brined. Turkeys can get kind of dry.
So how much time in advance should you start thinking about preparing your bird, particularly if it's a turkey?
So if it's a turkey, I would start thinking like a day and a half in advance. The last turkey I made, I brined for like 12 to 14 hours.
Is it better if you brine it longer?
Sometimes it can get too salty. So it also depends on your brine. I like to not have my birds too salty. I like to season them at the very end with some coarse sea salt. But I always feel like a brined bird is going to end up juicier. You can also try, I haven't done this personally, but I would like to, sort of a Peking style roast turkey. So like Peking duck, but a turkey. So like, then you end up like lacquering the skin. And I think the lacquer is typically a blend of honey, soy sauce, and some people use sugar. So if anybody tries that, please let me know. Send me photos.
What if you're like only two people or a family of four? What if you don't want like a full bird? Are there ways to prepare the protein where it's like just a turkey breast or chicken breast? Or what would you recommend in that case?
So if it's just two to four of you, so I would say that the breast is the worst part of the bird. It is the driest. I mean, you can definitely like brine a breast long enough to make it juicy, but why when you get like the bottom half of the bird that's already dark and juicy, or get, you know, just get like a really fancy, wonderfully raised, locally pastured chicken. Rub that whole chicken down with olive oil, and fresh rosemary and sea salt. Put it in your oven at like 250 until like it's like cooked to like, I would say like 165 in the middle, and then take it out, let it rest, rub more olive oil on it, stick it back in the oven until the skin gets really beautifully crispy. And to me, like that's better than a turkey.
Yeah. What's more important, do you think? The turkey or the sides?
For me, it's the sides. Yeah. I love a stuffing. So in my family, for me, there is no Thanksgiving without my Auntie Diane's spinach and water chestnut dip. So I'm going to be making dip this year with her recipe. There's no Thanksgiving without noodles, so there will have to be noodles. There is no Thanksgiving without stuffing and cranberry sauce and gravy and ahi poke, of course. So to me, like the bird is like sort of like a tablescape. Like, it's nice to have. It's festive. But the other stuff is more important.
I don't think we're having that scene of the turkey, the big turkey and the big carving. I don't think that's happening this year if you're not going to have, since nobody's having like 20, 30 people over their house for Thanksgiving.
Yeah. I mean, that might not happen. But I think there are ways around this. So I grew up in Hawaii. So my idea of Thanksgiving and Christmas is a little bit different from maybe what like a person raised on the mainland, their idea of Thanksgiving is. Like, we didn't have like, you know, a real Christmas tree. So I never felt like it was lacking if my parents put Christmas lights in the shape of a tree on the wall, which is what they always did. Because like, you know, if you get a Christmas tree like shipped in from the mainland to Hawaii, it's extremely expensive, which means like your gifts aren't going to be as good because your parents spent so much money on a tree that they're going to throw away anyway. So I never felt like I was cheated, or it wasn't like a proper holiday if I didn't have the tree, or if I didn't have the full bird. I would feel cheated if there wasn't ahi poke though.
That's great. All right. Can you give us a quick ahi poke recipe?
Yes. So you should get sustainably sourced ahi. If you don't know what that means, go to your fishmonger or go to the person who's going to be selling you fish and ask them, hey, can I eat this fish raw? And did it come from a good place? And that person will be able to tell you whether or not you can, first of all, eat the fish raw, how to store it in your fridge, and where it came from. So all of these are very important. If you don't have an ongoing relationship with your fishmonger. I recommend Samuel's Seafood. They have Giuseppe's Market down in South Philly by the stadiums. And they have been my fish supplier for the last 7 years, 8 years, both for the restaurant and personally. Like, I will not buy fish from anybody else because I trust them. And you can get basically like very high quality sushi grade, whether it's ahi, salmon, kampachi, whatever you want to use for poke. So you got your fish. You dice it into cubes. If it's not fish, use tofu. Use breadfruit. Use a very nice, not overcooked purple yam. Poke doesn't have to be made of fish. It can be made of anything so long as it adheres to a certain vocabulary of seasonings. And those seasonings are Hawaiian sea salt or some sort of rough, good sea salt. You can use seaweed. You can also put sesame oil, shoyu, or soy sauce onto it, dress the fish in it. And if you don't know how much, do it according to how much you like it. So put in a teaspoon at a time until you like how your fish tastes or like how your sweet potato or whatever tastes. Add a ginger. You can add green onions. You can add sliced sweet onions. Basically add things little by little until you come up with something that you really enjoy. You can also put in crushed macadamia nuts for like a buttery, nutty flavor. And you can also go a totally different route and make a spicy mayo and add ikura or masago, fish eggs or caviar to it. And you will impress both your guests and yourself.
That sounds great. How do you like reconcile, like we're in this crazy time of the year, right? We're going into a season that talks about like, this is like a festival of abundance. And that's not really reflective of where we are right now.
Yeah, we are going through extremely difficult times in very many, many different ways. You can look at it from like a food perspective and think about like all the different supply chain areas that have endured difficulty, and all of those different like parts of the chain represent families that are affected, people who are affected, whether it's monetarily or in terms of their health. Like, there's no part of the world, I think, that has been untouched by this great disaster. Given that, I hope that during this season, like as I mentioned with saving your bones, I think this season can teach us to make the best of what we have. This strange period of lockdowns taught me how to garden. So I am like producing like things from my garden that I thought I had a black thumb until like midsummer when the seeds that I planted started growing. And, you know, that costs like nothing to cultivate. Just as it costs nothing to like save your scraps, and turn them into like treasure, turn them into full other meals. And hopefully those will become traditions. And I think traditions are inherently abundant because you can't see the end of them. You're going to do something that your kids see and hopefully they get to repeat it. And then in that sense, we have like an abundance of memory and something good will come out of this.
I understand that you're doing virtual classes now, cooking classes.
Yes, I do lots of virtual classes. Please hire me. I do them really regularly now. They are my main source of income in addition to the food writing that I've been doing for the past few years. And I will basically send you a list, like a shopping list. And I've been coming up with these lists for Planned Parenthood and UPenn and all sorts of different companies that are looking for like interesting ways to unite their communities over Zoom, which I know is a very difficult thing to do. So yeah, I've been teaching a lot of cooking classes online. It's going well.
How do you think that food, the food industry, food entertainment, our leisure time is going to be impacted when all of this is said and done?
I think once things are sorted out in regards to the pandemic, once our rates go back down, I think we are going to probably see a loss of a lot of our favorite restaurants. So that's going to change like going out a lot. Like even today, like I went out to try to find plant pots and I wanted to go to this plant pot store in Chinatown, found it was closed and ended up going to Lowe's. And I feel like that sort of change in decision making is probably going to happen with food, like on a much larger scale. Like you're going to be craving something and you find that the place that makes whatever you're craving is no longer in existence. So you have to go somewhere larger that you previously wouldn't have considered before. And that makes me incredibly sad. So this Thanksgiving, if you love a restaurant, please, by all means, go and purchase their meal kits or sides or whatever food and put it onto one of your fancy plates and make a holiday out of it.
Yeah. What do you want to say to those people that are where you were in July?
So what I would like to say to restaurants that are still hanging in there is going to sound extremely practical, but do your numbers for like the worst possible scenario, because it doesn't make sense for you to continue to bleed money. I think we as a restaurant community desperately need a bailout. But if there is no bailout, do your numbers, see what makes sense. And above all things, like, put the health of your finances first.
What are your hopes for next year? Where do you see yourself a year from now?
Next year, I really, really hope to be on a beach for like an extended period of time. I hope that beach is Kauai, where my family also happens to be from. So I hope to be able to like hug my 95-year-old aunties. I still have 6 of them. We're Catholic, large family. And so that's really what I want next year. Like, that's my goal. Yeah, please, please, let's all cooperate. Wear your masks, stay healthy so we can all go and see our loved one.
Well, happy Thanksgiving. Thank you so much. I hope that you have like the best meal ever and you're still here. You're still making it through.
Yeah, still making food.
Still making food. What are you most thankful for?
I am most thankful for my health. Nothing else comes close.
Kiki Araneta, thank you so much. Happy Thanksgiving. And I do hope that you get to get on a plane to Hawaii next year.
Thank you.
That's it for this episode of What's Cooking on KYW. You can follow the show and get other delicious tidbits on Instagram at foodinthe215. And follow me on Twitter and Facebook for more news and insights at Hadas Kuznets. If you have a food tip or feedback about the show, reach out. And please take a moment to help us by rating and reviewing the show on iTunes. It helps us to keep making the podcast and get it to new listeners. I'm Hadas Kuznets, and that's What's Cooking.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.